Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, and my goal is to take you on an inspiring journey of self-discovery and relationship recovery. I'm the host of the show, but this is really all about you, and it's for you, the single woman who wants to date smart and find the love of her life. On this show, casual sex is dumb, being choosy is smart, and the prize is a healthy, loving relationship that lasts. So call in, share your dating and relationship stories, ask the questions that keep you awake at night, and get coaching. The number to call in is 347-308-8511. That's 347-308-8511. Now, stay tuned for Love Strategies.
Welcome to the show. This is Nina Atwood. I'm your host, live this time. If you're joining me for the first time, welcome. If you've been here before, I'm so glad you're back and that you're listening today, whether it's live or you're downloading. On this show, we're going to talk today about dating and drinking etiquette, four rules to live by, and I'm going to take some questions from my listeners. So listen up, we're going to be talking about how to use alcohol in a way that makes sense when you're dating, how to do that in a smart way, how to prevent yourself from falling into some kind of cliched, but it will make sense to you when you hear about it, but some dating traps that you can get into by using alcohol in the wrong way. But before I go forward with that part of the show, I want to take a minute and ask you this question. Have you tried online dating? Did you get bad results? Was it just too much trouble weeding through all the questionable people? Were you concerned about your safety and security? You wouldn't be alone in that. There's good reason to be. Did you meet some interesting people that just didn't pan out, so you finally kind of just decided, well, I'm just not going to bother with this anymore. Online dating just doesn't work. Or have you never tried it because you've heard so many negative stories about it? Well, if that fits for you, then you are going to love my new book, Internet Dating for the Savvy Single. I wrote this little ebook so I could quickly convey to you all of the strategies that I've taught my clients over the years about internet dating. In it, you will learn the right mindset with which to begin the process, because that's very, very important to your future success. You'll also learn how to choose the best sites, the right steps to set up your accounts, how to contact others and get the best results, and how to respond when other people contact you. You're going to get a step-by-step process for the first handful of dates so that you know how to keep yourself safe and secure and so that you weed out inappropriate people quickly. All that advice and a whole lot more is packed into this short little ebook, and all for the cost of 99 cents, which is basically almost free, just 99 cents to cover my cost to publish it. But I wanted everyone to have access to this book, and that's why it's so inexpensive, not because it's not valuable, because it is. But go to Amazon.com today and download it for your Kindle device. If you don't read books on the Kindle, you read them on other devices, you can download the Kindle app, and then you'll be able to access this book. Follow the coaching and watch your dating life turn completely around. Let's talk about alcohol and relationships, especially new relationships. I've got for you today four dating and drinking rules that you have probably never heard before. You certainly didn't learn them in school, although people probably should learn them in school. But imagine yourself in this scenario. You're on a first date, and it's time to order a beverage. Should you drink or not? The answer is it really depends on your goal. If you're seeking a great relationship, then your first date needs to be all about discovering basic compatibility, including chemistry. And alcohol fosters illusion and false chemistry. So because of that, and the fact that you really can't think straight in order to try to assess compatibility, the first rule of dating and drinking etiquette is this one: don't drink on the first date. Now, there's plenty of time later in a relationship to enjoy that nice little buzz that you can get with a glass of wine, but that should come after you have sorted out your compatibility and determined real chemistry. And, you know, real chemistry is not just about sex. It's intellectual, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's on a whole lot of different levels, lifestyle, connection around values. There's just a lot of things that go into good chemistry. I'm not talking about fireworks necessarily on the first date. I'm talking about that chemistry feeling of, wow, this is a person that I really want to get to know more. This could be a good person in my life. So on the first date, it's really important that you are level-headed and able to ask great questions. I'm a big fan of asking terrific, penetrating questions on the first date, second date, third date. Questions that really peel down through the layers, get you past the superficial, you know, news, weather, and sports talk, so that you can really see who that person is and they can see who you are. So in that vein, one of my favorite, this is my all-time favorite suggestion for my clients. I've given it to so many people over the years, and it's one of the best questions that you can ask on a first date. Here's the question: how long has it been since your last relationship, and how did it end? Notice I didn't say why did it end, and I'll tell you why that is. How long since your last relationship gives you a big clue about how emotionally available somebody is. Because if the answer comes back, well, last week, and, you know, she threw my clothes in the front yard and burned them and slashed my tires. Okay, too much drama, too recent. That tells you right away that this is somebody who is not ready for a new relationship. So how long it's been and how it ended tells you a lot about how emotionally available somebody is. Now, notice I didn't say why did it end, and here's why. Because the minute you ask the question why, people automatically go into analytical mode, explanation mode. And why a relationship ends, people are typically terrible at explaining the answer to that. They really don't have good answers for that. Because, of course, right away, somebody wants to explain the ending of their last relationship in a self-justifying manner. It's just human nature to want to do that. We all want to look good. We want to sound good. We don't want to sound stupid. So right away, if you say, why did it end? You're going to get a very different answer than if you ask, how did it end? How did it end elicits the story. That is what you really want. You want to hear the story about that relationship. How it ended was, we went to counseling, we spent 6 months sitting in front of a therapist, and at the end of the day, you know, he didn't love me anymore. She didn't love me anymore, and didn't want to do it. And it was very, very sad. We gave it our best, but it just wasn't going to work out for the long haul. And that is the kind of story you want to hear. You don't want to hear the big drama-rama. You don't want to hear, you know, fighting and punching and revenge and different things like that. Because when you hear stories like that, that tells you that you're dealing with someone that's probably not going to be a very good relationship bet for you. So that's why that question is so powerful. When you are stone cold sober, you will listen differently to the answers, and you will listen more attentively, and you'll learn a lot more than you ever could if you're sitting there drinking, getting all buzzy, creating a false sense of intimacy, a false sense of chemistry, getting all caught up in the feelings of it on that first date. If you are sober, you'll be much more in a mode of, let me check you out a bit before I get all buzzy and close to you. All right, so that's why that's so critical. Now, let's sort of fast forward and say that you're on the second date and you've decided, okay, well, second date, it's okay to drink now. And I'm going to talk to the women first. So you're the woman. You order first and you order your favorite cocktail. He orders after you and chooses iced tea. Whoops, is this a big dating faux pas or is it par for the course? Well, in the language of love, it's a bit of a problem, and here's why. Unconsciously, we look for someone who is similar, with whom we feel in sync. Couples that stick tend to mirror one another in lots of little subtle ways from the very first date. So when he orders iced tea and you order alcohol, you're kind of out of sync. It's a tiny disconnect, but it's one that can influence whether or not he asks you for the next date. Therefore, the second rule of drinking and dating etiquette is this one. Let him, if you're the woman, let him order the beverage first and follow suit. If he orders something non-alcoholic, follow suit by ordering water, iced tea, or whatever. If he orders something alcoholic and you're past the first date, then you're free to follow suit with wine or a cocktail. Of course, if you never drink, you got to be true to yourself. Just because he orders a cocktail, you don't have to become an alcohol drinker just to get another date. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. Later in the relationship, though, you'll have plenty of time, plenty of freedom to order as you please. It's only in those first handful of dates that it's really critical to be in sync. And here's what the goal is. This is not about manipulating men. It's only paying attention to the pacing and maximizing your connection. His pace for loosening up with having a drink or two with you may be a lot slower than yours, and it pays to slow down with him. So let's say it's a later date and you're in sync with having your first drink together. That feels great, but how far should you go? Well, in dating etiquette, how much you drink has a huge bearing on how the relationship develops. Alcohol consumption is very highly associated with the timing of sex for the first time. Therefore, the third rule of dating and drinking etiquette is this one. Don't have more than one drink until you're ready to have sex. I mean, it's just really pretty simple. Alcohol lowers emotional and sexual barriers, and it impairs judgment. I know it sounds like a real old cliche, but it still holds true. You know, picture the scenario. He orders a lot of drinks. She drinks them. She loses count of all those drinks. She gets beyond buzzy. He takes her home, and the next thing you know, they're waking up together the next morning after a night of passion. But the problem is that sometimes the alcohol chooses the partner instead of you choosing the partner, instead of your rational brain, the one that should be assessing values and discovering if he is really into you. That part of you is not choosing when you get rip-roaring drunk on a second or third date and go home and have sex. That's not where you're choosing from, because once you have sex with him, the choosing is over for you and the chasing is over for him. Guys don't have to be really into you to want sex with you. So it pays, really pays big time to hold off on that temptation, the temptation to be sexual too soon, until you know exactly where you stand with him. That is the point of it, is determining where you stand and what your level of compatibility is, how much you are connecting at the heart, how much commitment you're developing, all those things. You want to be assessing those very powerfully and making a very conscious, rational, also emotional, but a very conscious choice about becoming sexual. That is the best way to go about it, rather than letting the moment of getting way too high on alcohol determine that very big step forward in your relationship. All right, well, I've got a lot more to cover with you about alcohol and dating etiquette. So stick with me. I just have a quick message for you, and then we'll be back with more on love strategies.
Hi, I'm Nina Atwood. Does this sound familiar to you? You start a new relationship full of hope that maybe this time he's the one, But weeks, months, or even years later, you realize that although the name and face have changed, the story is the same. He's all wrong for you, and now you have to continue suffering or start all over. Well, you don't have to keep repeating the same old patterns. If you want to raise your relationship game and put yourself on a whole new course for a happy, healthy, lasting love, get Temptations of the Single Girl, the 10 Dating Traps You Must Avoid. This is a self-help book like no other. It's a parable, an easy, fast story you can read in 2 to 3 hours. The fact that it's a story and not just dry, boring data means you'll retain the lessons learned far longer. And the more you retain, the greater the changes you'll be able to make in your life. That's why I wrote it this way, to make it easy for you to get what you need to permanently alter your love life for the better. You can get the book by clicking on the book cover right from the show page, or you can go to singlescoach.com, find the tab for books and tapes, then click on Singles Coach A Store. Temptations of the Single Girl is available through Amazon.com and as a Kindle book. And now back to more love strategies.
You're listening to Love Strategies. I'm Nina Atwood, your host. We're talking today about dating and drinking etiquette. Now, this next situation could happen to you on any date. Let's say that you've been going out for a while, and let's say that he drinks, and then he drinks a little more, and then he tries to get you to match his pace, even though you are clearly not interested in getting rip-roaring drunk. That leads me to the fourth rule of dating and drinking etiquette. Never let his overconsumption of alcohol compromise your safety or well-being. The first thing you need to realize is people put their best foot forward in new relationships. And if this is his best, you are in for a world of hurt down the road. You're in your first, second, third, fourth, fifth date. You're in a brand new relationship, and he is wildly over drinking, trying to get you to drink with him. You've got big problems. He has a drinking problem. He may be an alcoholic, and you are not going to be able to change him. It is time to get the lesson. Get it now. Move on and just say next as loudly as you can when you get home. But this situation calls for having strong interpersonal boundaries. Do not hesitate in situations like this to say goodnight. Just stand up, leave the restaurant, call a taxi if you don't have your own car there. Here's the mistake that women make. They think they need to be nice. You do not have to be nice to him, and you certainly should not care about offending him. Believe me, he won't even know it. But he is the one who offended, not you. All right, let's say that this happens to you. You're on a third or fourth date, guy gets rip-roaring drunk, you get up, you leave, you go home, and then the next day he calls you to apologize. All you need to do is thank him, but do not let him talk you into another date just because he is remorseful. The behavior will not change, and you will be caught up in the nasty codependent cycle. Here's what it looks like. Offense, breaking up, remorse, relenting, reconnecting, next offense, breaking up, remorse, relenting, reconnecting, next offense. You get it? It just goes on and on and on. So don't put yourself in that cycle. Just really take a pass on that kind of a relationship. It's not going to work out well for you. It's not going to work out well for anybody. And you're going to waste months and possibly years of your life. There are too many wonderful people out there, wonderful men, really and truly wonderful guys who want to give you a good life, who want to love and be loved by you. There is really no reason for you to compromise your values so severely that you would choose someone who has a severe drinking problem, as evidenced by behavior very early in a relationship. But let's talk about you for just a minute. Let's say that you're the one who really likes that second and third and maybe fourth drink on a date. You're the one who's unable to stop at one or two drinks. Well, remember, you are putting your best foot forward as well. If you can't stop after the second drink, now why did I pick the second drink? Because that's the recommended amount of daily alcohol intake for most women. Two drinks, max. I mean, that is the healthy amount of alcohol to have. I'm not saying that you wouldn't ever, 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 once in a blue moon, get together with your girlfriends at somebody's house and share a couple of bottles of wine and have more than two drinks and get really silly and have a good time. Not saying you would never do that, as long as nobody is getting in the car and driving after that, as long as you're calling taxis or everybody's spending the night. You know, what the heck? Every once in a while, we all like to have a nice little party. I'm not saying you wouldn't do that, but I am saying on a regular basis, day-to-day basis, you should always stop after one or two drinks. And if you're on a date with a guy that you don't know very well and you cannot stop, you just can't get yourself to quit after that second drink, then maybe you have a problem with alcohol. That does not mean that your character is bad. It means that you may have an addictive process that is partially physiological. You need to seek an assessment, see if you need treatment before you date and inflict those problems on someone else. Okay, so I've given you all the downside of drinking and dating and how to deal with it, but let me wind up on a positive note here. Having a drink on a date does have a positive side. It can relax you so that you more freely relate, you know, get you past the nerves and the butterflies in your stomach. That's not a bad thing, because sometimes in new relationships we just get so nervous that we kind of lock up and don't share as much. So it can have a positive side. It should be enjoyable. You should be in sync with it. It should never, ever be dangerous. If you follow these simple drinking and dating etiquette rules, it will help you to avoid falling into some of the worst temptations in dating and help you stay on the road to a great relationship. Okay, well, I have a question coming in over email from Emily. Let's talk with Emily. Emily says, I read your book, Temptations of the Single Girl, and I thought I finally got it right. The guy that got away came back to me. He was great. He was loving, attentive, and above all, honest. We dated for 9 months before we broke up because he wanted to reconcile with his ex-wife. I wasn't mad at him because he was totally honest with me. I let him go even though I was in love with him. 3 years later, we got back together. He contacted me over email. He said it didn't work out with the wife, and we started a great new relationship. This time it lasted a year. And everything was wonderful until the last 3 months. His brother moved in with him because he was going through a divorce. The time and communication between us started to die down. I had a conversation telling him I know he's stressed with his brother and a death in the family. If he was trying to give me a hint, then let's just end this. He assured me that he wasn't trying to give me hints. Instead, he said we had a future together. Three weeks later, I was noticing when I called that I would get a message saying this person is not accepting blocked calls. I looked on the internet and saw that he could be blocking my calls. The weird part is he was still contacting me and trying to call me through text and phone. I had one of my friends call, and instantly he answers. I sent him a text saying that since he blocked my number, he should go ahead and lose my number. It was over. Now I am assuming the only reason he would do this is because he was cheating. The question is, I feel like I'm attracting the same man over and over again. I read your book and tried to break the pattern, but it seems like they are all liars and emotionally unavailable. Help me, please. I am so lost, Emily. Wow. First of all, Emily, I'm just really sorry that you're going through this very tough time and that you're feeling so lost. I want to give you some feedback, but I just want to confirm that this is a really complicated situation, and it probably deserves more focus than I can give you just in this quick message. So you might really want to consider some one-to-one coaching as a follow-up. But the blocked phone number issue is very puzzling. I want to ask, is there any chance that it was an accident, that he didn't intend it? I can't imagine why a guy would go to the trouble to block your calls but not bother to have a conversation and tell you he's breaking up. That's not consistent with his previous behavior when he dated you and broke up to go back to his ex-wife. You mentioned just kind of in passing that not only did he have a brother living with him going through a divorce, but there was also a death in the family. That sounds like a lot of stress. And sometimes people under stress do goofy things like blocking the wrong phone number. But regardless of the reason for him doing that, if that happened to me, I would want to talk about it so that I could understand from him exactly what went wrong. So I don't understand your reaction, Emily. Just sending him a text and telling him it's over, making the assumption that he was doing that because he was cheating, that's a huge assumption. I can't imagine dating someone for a whole year but having such a fragile relationship that he blocks your calls and you break up over text. That's just too much drama. It's not enough real relationship. So my message to you, Emily, is this. You can't change the men you date, but you can change your behavior, and I think that is the next step for you. Early on in this reunion, you should have been having regular you and me talks, affirming that you're on the same path, a loving relationship leading toward marriage. If you're having those talks regularly, it is virtually impossible to have someone abruptly kick you out of their life unless that person was dishonest all along with you. So my question is, which is it? Was he a total con, or did you focus too much on the relationship goodies and neglect the work of communication? I can't tell which it is from your question, but I think that is what you need to figure out. You need to figure out what was the reality of this situation. It's time for you to develop a really strong inner radar that tells you what you need to know about another person. And when it's working right, it informs you about whether or not the other person is being real with you. I did tons of work on that issue alone, and it transformed my life. And the result is that I can spot a mile away a person who's disingenuous, who's charming, but with little substance. But I think some coaching and counseling is warranted to help you sort that out. And meanwhile, go back and reread Temptations of the Single Girl. I definitely think it's time for a refresher, and I wish you the best in sorting out that situation and really being able to go forward and have a loving and healthy relationship. Well, I want to thank everyone today for joining me on the show. A very special acknowledgement to my loving and devoted husband, Mark. Be sure and join me again for more love strategies. And meanwhile, send me your questions about love, life, dating, and relationships. That goes to nina@singlescoach.com. And finally, remember that the way to great relationships is to live a joyful life of integrity, spirit, and purpose.
Thank you for joining us at Love Strategies. Be sure and visit the premier website for single men and women who want to date smart, singlescoach.com. Sign up for the newsletter and you'll get notifications for this show as well as other free dating tips. If you want a coach to support you in your growth and recovery, go to Singles Coaching on the website and choose personal coaching. That's it for today, and be sure and tune back in for more love strategies so you can date smart and find the love of your life.